Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Eretz HaKadesh, is daf Yud Zayin. And we got right up to the analysis of the Mishnah. V'chad omer b'fanay nechtav, v'shnayim omrim b'fanay nechtam. So we just finished the story of the Persians and the Romans. Now we get back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that the get is kosher if you have one person that is saying b'fanay nechtam, and you have two people that are saying b'fanay nechtam. Now, it's not very clear to us whether we're talking about, when we say persons, we're talking about shluchim, or we're talking about just people that weren't empowered by the husband to bring the get. So what exactly is the case over here? Omer Bami, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. When do we say that the get over here is kosher? That's only where the ones who said b'faneinu nechtam are the ones that are not the ones that are being made on the ketiva. So in other words, the get actually is brought to the Beis Din by the shliach who was the one who said b'fanei nechtav. That's good. Why? Because since he has the equivalent of two Edim on the Ktiva, and altogether that gives us two Edim on the Ktiva, the equivalent of two Edim, because remember, the Rabbanan were metaken that a Shliach has the right to say b'fanay nechtav. And now we have two other Edim, they're not the Shluchim, but they're two other Edim on the Chatima. But suppose the get was brought by the Edei Chatima, and then that would mean that nobody said that it was written Lishma, except for one person, but he's not the Shliach. So in that case, it would be possible, because we would need B'fanay Nechtav that is said by a Shliach that it was Lishma, which means that Rabbi Yochanan is telling me that Shnayim Sheviu get me Medinat Hayam, that means that it's very clear from this statement of Rabbi Yochanan that the purpose of b'fanay nechtav, getting back to the very beginning of the Masechet, has got to be to establish lishma. Because as we said before, if the entire issue is only to be sure that edim are mitsuyin lekaimo, so then if two people would bring the get, as Rashi puts it, we already have our edim mitsuyim lekaimo. And therefore, there would be no need to say b'fanay nechtav, b'fanay nechtam. So then, Rabbi Yochanan, if he's saying that you still need a perfectly valid b'fanay nechtav, it must be that he holds of lishma, and that therefore, even if two people brought it, that doesn't mean anything l'gabi lishma. It only addresses Rava's concern of eidim mitzuyim l'kaimai, but it doesn't address the concern of Rabba of lishma. And even though, as we said, you know, they learned about this in the time of the Mishnah, they already knew about it. But remember that according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabba, we have the halacha of the gezera of Shemayahu's Radavar Lekil Kulo, where people won't know. So Memela, it's clear that that's what Rabbi Yochanan holds. That's what Rabbi shows. Omale Rabasi. So Rabasi said to Rabbi, let me just work this out very clearly. In other words, what you're saying is that the Reisha, the case that we had before this case, the case before was that Shnayim Omrim B'fanaynu Nechtav, V'Echad Omer B'fanay Nechtam, that was possible. And Rabbi Yehuda was Makshir. So it's clear that by this analysis you're saying that this would be true even if the get came from underneath the two hands, that is to say, we have two shluchim, and they were the ones who would say the b'fanay nechtav, that afal piken, let's say you get one of the witnesses to the ktiva, and one of the witnesses to the chatima, and they are shluchim. So then what you're saying is that even in that case, pasle rabbonan, because you said that we need not to have two witnesses because of Einodim Mitzim L'Kaimai, but because, to make it clear, that everything was done Lishma. So then that means that we're going to need absolutely to require witnesses for Lishma, or a shliach who said both to the Lishma of the Ktiva and the Lishma of the Chatima. So therefore, we have a problem over here, because since you need to have both of these shluchim that are going to say what the Ktiva and the Chatima was, this is a subtle point that he's making. If we need both of these people, then there's no way that the people around are going to ignore the fact that each one of them only was made on one thing. In other words, if you have Stam people coming in, you say, okay, people aren't paying attention. Who is the Shliach? Who is the aid? But now you're telling me that the bottom line is that the only way we can be Mashir is by utilizing these Shlichim. But then people will say, oh, so what did they say? They said, one guy said, Befanai Nechtav, and the other guy said, Befanai Nechtam. So if that's the case, we're back to our problem. So how many people were there on the Chatima? One. Did he also say Befanai Nechtav? No. Another guy said Befanai Nechtav. Oh. So apparently you can use one person for Kiyum Get in general, for Kiyum Shtarot B'Yalma, right? And therefore, the Rabbanan would say over here that even if you've got two out of these three total people, two people on the Ktiva, but only one person on the Chatima, even in the event that they're shluchim, it's not going to help you, Adarabba. That's going to make the problem of people confusing this with Kiyum Gitim D'Alma, says Rabbani. That's true. That's absolutely true. And Lamaisa, we had already the discussion. Rabbani obviously then will ask the question that he asked yesterday. So what are they arguing in, and what are Rabbi Yehuda hold? We're not bothering to tell you over the whole story again. We understand what the whole story will end up being. What's important to us, the reason that we're doing this, is because we end up with Rav Ami changing his mind. That's why. So in this case, Rav Ami actually says that the Rabbanu would have passed even if you would have had the both of them being shluchim. Now, at some other point, Rav Asi bumps into Rav Ami, and again, Rav Ami was sitting and explaining the case of the Mishnah, and he said the opposite. He said, Afilu get yotzei mitachat yidei edei chatima, it would still be kosher. So over here, even if the witnesses to the chatima are shluchim, and the guy that said the ktiva is lishma, he was not a shliach, nonetheless, it's kosher. So Rav Ami says, Alma kasavar, that proves, if I'm right about this, so if that's what Rabbi Yochanan holds, that he must hold, that shnayim sheviu get mimedinat hayam, ein tzrichim sheomru b'faneinu nechtav b'faneinu nechtam, and therefore we don't really care that we don't have, the only reason that we did it was in order to have kiyum get, like Rava, not like Rava. And over here, since we have these two people that were there at the Chatima, so then there's no need bichlal for any of this. So they don't have to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. And therefore, in this case, it would be kosher, even though only one guy said b'fanai nechtav. Who cares? We don't need anybody to tell us anything. So this is a complete reversal of what he just said. Because here we're saying that it's going aliba to Rava and not aliba to Rab. And we don't have a problem of lishma. So then that means that now you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein tzrichim shiomru b'fan, if you have two people, shiomru b'fanai nechta, b'fanai nechta. Omar lei, Rav Asi, but according to what you're just saying, now obviously at this point we already see enough that Rav Ami's changed his mind. Rav Asi just wants to talk out that every last thing that Rav Ami had said before is now inverted. So he says, so let me get this straight. So then that means you're telling me now that the Reisha that said, Shnayim omrim b'faneinu nechtav, ve'achad omer b'fanein nechtam, that that's pasul, and that Rabbi Yehuda is machshir, the only reason that that's true is because you don't have two people bringing a get me medina sayam. That's why. Correct? So why is it puzzle? I mean, so what? But I thought Rashi said that as long as we have people that are there from medina sayam, that would be enough. Isn't that what you said before? Yeah. But what does that mean? That if you're at an airport and the plane opens the doors and everybody comes out from medina sayam, and two guys bring a get, you know, and one of them says that I'm the shliach, the other guy is just an aide. So therefore, what are you going to say if nobody else would come out? Yeah, but there was a whole plane load of people. What do I know about the plane load of people? So in other words, the point over here is specifically because we're talking about a case where the guy is actually an aide, right? And therefore, we've got a bigger problem. Because if the only time that you're saying that it's possible is because ena get yotze bitachat yedei shneihem. So since the only one who's a shliach over here is the guy who saw the chatima, and now everybody knows, I mean, okay, but the bottom line is there's only one person around that's doing that. So then he might think, like Rav Eschashish, that you can always have one person that is made on the Kiyam HaGet, because just because other people are around doesn't mean anything. But if you would have a get that would be Yotzi Mitachat Yedei Shnehem, now you're telling me that if you have these two people and one of them or both of them were actually the Shluchim, that would be fine. Because after all, you just said that if you have two Shluchim that bring a get from Medina Sayam, obviously there's no problem because we know we have two people. Forget about the rest of the people on the flight, right? So then is that what you're saying now? That the Rabbanu would have said that's kosher, even though they're not able to say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam? Omalev, yes, that's absolutely what I'm saying. Well, man, if that's what you're saying, you're telling us the exact opposite of what you said before. Every last piece is the opposite. You said that Shnaim Shevi'u Get Bibidina Sayam actually are still going to need to say B'fanai Nechtam, B'fanai Nechtam because of the problem of Lishma. That's what you said before. And therefore, you said that it's going to be possible according to the Rabbanan even if the Get was Yotzi Mitachat Yedei Shneihem. Now you're saying that no, the Rabbanan would be Makshir if it's Yotzi Mitachat Yedei Shneihem. What happened? Omalei, what do you mean what happened? Consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, okay? I changed my mind, but let me tell you something. I sure ain't going to change it again. This is the right pshat. Yatedi, shalot timot. This is an absolute, 100% guaranteed, final, reliable opinion. Until tomorrow. A final, reliable opinion. And therefore, this is the way that we should learn. Okay, we are now ready for a grand moment of the presentation by our ever-trusty Kapitan, who will lead us through the shoals of the difficulties of Masechet Gittin. Nothing will faze him. His sonar is on all the way. His binoculars are attuned to every last change in the sugya. And therefore, he will now introduce the following incredible new world of and if you made the mistake of thinking that the Kapitan was half asleep when he said that, let me tell you, it's obviously a Yatedu Lotimot. We can always rely on our Kapitan. And therefore, we start a whole new circuit. Now the question is this. Generally speaking, do you need to date a contract? You'll say, well, I don't know. Every contract's got a date, you know. Well, what's the reason? Well, the reason that a contract has a date 99% of the time is because of the fact that it has very profound legal significance. In terms of what? Well, if you've got a halva'a, or you've got a mecher, or you've got a matana, and somebody else has a pre-existing lien, then he's able to be tofes, right? But, I mean, how does he prove it's pre-existing? Only based on the date. So the entire idea of when a person has a right to the property and when he can be doche tviya against him of the property is totally defined by the date. In which case, if you don't have a date, you're missing the fundamental rights that the contract has given you. So obviously you're going to need a date on any financial document. That's clear. But what about a get? What in the world is the point of a date on a get? After all, it's the ketuvah that creates the financial responsibility, not the get. And therefore, the get itself should be irrelevant in terms of the get, in terms of the date. Either she is divorced and she has a get, or she's not divorced. So for some reason, we already saw before when we talked about Shloshah Gittim Psulim, we already saw before that you need a get. You need a date on a get. And the point is that nonetheless, if you didn't have that date, so we said if she got married, the child is not a mamzer. Fine. That was one of the cases that we were asking before of a psul derabbanan where they didn't want to make the psul a mamzerut. But we never clarified what do we need the date for on a get at all. So this we're going to have to understand in order to make sense of the Mishnah that we're about to start, which takes for granted that you need a date. And the only question is the consistency of the date that's on the contract with the signatures. So does it have to be signed on the same date that is stated on the get? Or can they wait till the nighttime, let's say, which is really the next day? You know, and they had written it up and there were all kinds of arguments or whatever. And then by that time, it's after the nighttime. And now he wants the Adim to sign. Now they're going to be signing on a get, where the date was the day before. I mean, it was a half an hour before, but that's the previous date. Does it make any difference to us? Says the Mishnah, if a get was written in the daytime and it didn't get signed until the following night, or if it was written at night and it was signed on that night, or if it was written at night and was signed on that next day, So in other words, as long as it was written on the same day, as long as it was written on the same night as it was signed, as long as it was signed on the day following the night on which it was written, it's basically the same date, that's fine. It doesn't have to be during daytime or nighttime because that's not indicated on the get, whether it's daytime or nighttime, but it does have to be the same calendar date, which of course, in the Jewish calendar, begins the night before. So if it was at the night, sign the next day, the same night, everything's fine. Then it's kosher. But if you wrote it during the daytime and they didn't get around to signing it until the nighttime, then it's puzzle because it is mukdam. And a get mukdam, for some reason, is puzzle, even though you'd think that it absolutely makes no difference to us when it is dated. So in order to understand the Mishnah, we're going to have to first figure out what the intent is, bichlal, of making a takana that a get needs to have a date on it. The Mishnah leaves this very much up in the air, and it starts with the assumption, well, you all know that we need a date on a get. So, if we find a machlokas here, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's still kosher, I don't care whether it was signed on the same day or not. Now, obviously, in order to understand that machlokas, we're going to have to get back to an understanding of what the purpose is of the date at all. Okay, so the Mishnah has presented us with a challenge. How are you going to explain the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim? Because Rabbi Shimon always used to say, look, normal contracts that are even a little bit out of whack, they were written at 8:30, and the end of the day was 8:35, and then they're signed at 8:35, they're puzzle, because it's mukdam, and that has financial implications. But not a get, chutz migitei nashim, because who cares, basically, what date this woman was divorced on? Okay, so now we're going to need to understand. That's quite a reasonable kind of opinion. Why do we care? Itmar. So it turns out that the question of takanas man begitin is a machlokas of the Amoraim. We don't seem to have data that is provided about the original takana. Rabbi Yochanan says it has nothing to do with finances. It has to do with avoiding adultery. How does it avoid adultery? Well, let's imagine a case in which a guy is married to his sister's daughter. My nice, sweet little sister's daughter turns out to be a tweet. She ends up sleeping with some other guy. Now, maybe if it weren't my sister's daughter, I wouldn't care if she gets her head handed to her in Besden. But she is my sister's daughter, so I'm going to cover for her. So how will I cover for her? I'll give her a get. If it's not dated, when they bring her into Besden to hang her, so to speak, she takes out her get and says, what's your guy's problem? I'm a divorcee. I can sleep with whoever I want. Mind your own business. So in order to avoid that kind of problem, we put the date in the get, and therefore he's not going to be able to cover for her so easily. So it's mishum bat achoto. Reish Lakish amar? No, it's the same financial questions that are due. We put a date on any kind of contract because of its financial implications. So you'll say, what financial implications? The ktuva defines the financial implications. Not true. Not in one particular thing. There's one particular thing where the get makes all the difference in the world. And that would be the peirot of nichsei melug. So remember, nichsei melug is the property that's really owned by the woman, but the peiros are given to the man so long as they're married, right? Afterwards, if they get divorced, so then the whole thing goes back to her. So the question is over here, if I don't put a date on a get, so then what would prevent a guy from continuing to sell? Maybe she's got 100,000 acres. He's selling all of the produce for that. And she can't prove, if it isn't dated, she can't prove that you kept selling this produce after you already gave me a get and I want it back. And now she's going to go try to get it back from the person that had bought it or the companies that had bought it. So therefore, in order to avoid such a situation where he would be able to say, prove that I sold it before the get. So because of that, we put the date on the get, and therefore we save her that problem. It stops him from doing such a thing. Okay, this is the way that Rashi understands it. We'll go back again to recognize the alternatives and the problems in terms of the financial dealings that are going to be caused by Rashi's approach. But let's just take this as the pashtus. So then that means that the element of the date in the get, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is indeed a function of the dinim of gittin, so to speak. In other words, it has to do with the erva issue of Eshet Ish. According to Reish Lakish, it has nothing to do with the get per se. It only has to do with the financial implications of when it is that she gets a get in relationship to being able to sue for stolen nichsei meluk. Okay, so first of all, let's just get to the basic machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Why doesn't Reish Lakish agree that it makes sense to put a date on a get because of the get, not because of other issues? Because after all, I mean, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Just like financial documents need a date because of their financial implications, so too does a divorce document need a date because of its divorce implications. And therefore, in order for a woman to be able to tell a court that I am a divorcee and I can sleep with whoever I want, in order to do that, it has to be dated, right? Because if I do that, then what's to prevent a date not being put on a get or having some other date, whatever, and then she can always say that, even if it's 10 years after she had already been committing adultery. She can say, no, I had this get from before. That's very reasonable, isn't it? Says Reish Lakish, well, it may be reasonable, but the reason itself isn't reasonable. Yes, it would be nice if I could believe that there's a purpose that has to do with issues in the date on a get. Now, are you honestly telling me? I mean, think about the number of times that this event is going to come up. First of all, the guy's got to be married to his niece. Otherwise, we're not chashish that he's going to try to cover for just anyone. Then she had to have accepted hatra'ah. because otherwise, anyway, she's not going to get killed. And we need to have two witnesses. Now, I mean, how often do you think a thing like this comes up? Once every 100 years? I mean, we're going to make a takana of a date in a get because of something like that? Znut lo shchicha. And as Tosfos explained, it doesn't mean znut isn't shchicha. It means znut with witnesses and Kabbalah's hasra that a person should actually be chayev misa and that he would want to cover for her to prevent her from getting shot. That's very not shchiach. So I can't believe that that's the reason. And why would indeed Rabbi Yochanan not say that whatever a get is, it's also a financial document in the sense that it gives rights or takes away rights from the husband to Nichsei Malug and provides rights for the woman to be able to be suing for people who took the Nichsei Malug and get it back from them? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it doesn't matter when the get was signed. Because basically, the husband really is allowed to continue to sell the Nichsei Malug until the actual divorce. And therefore, when he gives the get to her, it's only at that moment that he loses it. So what's the point of putting on a date? Maybe it was dated a year before and given a year later. So what? The time in between the writing of the get and the giving of the get, he had every right to sell the Nichsei Malug, and she can't turn around and say, you bum, you had every intention of divorcing me a year ago, and you kept stealing all my money. I'm not stealing all your money. Did I divorce you? No. And until it was divorced, I had every right to take the money of the production from your Malug field. So therefore, you're not doing anything when you put, according to Rabbi Yochanan, when you put a date on it, because it makes no difference. I have a right to sell until you get it. Therefore, the real reason for the date must be in terms of Ishut, to make it impossible to utilize a universal date, so to speak, an undated get, to be able to always cover for any type of adultery at any point. Okay, now, let's try to think with these two totally different approaches to why we have a date on a get, let's try to think how these two approaches would understand the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Because Rabbi Shimon is saying there's no point in that date. I don't care if it's before, dated earlier. It makes no difference to me. Well, what are they arguing about? So, Bishlama Reish Lakish. I understand, according to Reish Lakish, he would say that that's exactly the reason that Rabbi Shimon, since he holds that the husband actually would hold that he does not have any right to Nichsei Malug from the point that the get is actually written. Now, that would be a wonderful explanation of the machlokas. Because according to Reish Lakish, the reason that the only reason that according to the Chachamim you need it is because he would be selling his Nichsei Malug and he didn't have a right to. But according to Rabbi Shimon, she can anyway collect from the time of the date, and it makes no difference whether that date was later, whenever it is, he would lose all rights to the Nichsei Malug anyway. So because of that, even if it wasn't signed on the same day, who cares? If she takes that get and she sues for a Nichsei Malug, was the get written on that day? Well, obviously, I mean, the sofer had dated it. So you're saying, but the Adam didn't sign until a month later. Who cares? The moment that he decided that he wants to divorce me, he has no right to Nichsei Malug. And the proof of the pudding that he wanted to divorce me is that he already ordered the get. And it's on that date. But it wasn't signed. Who cares? We're agreed that it was definitely written on that date. Therefore, I'm going to use this get to recoup my stolen Nichsei Malug. And she would have every right to do that. So I don't care, really, when it was signed, according to Rabbi Shimon. But the way Rabbi Yochanan is understanding it has nothing to do with finances. It's only a question of whether he's going to use it to cover for her, right? So I understand, according to Rabbi Shimon, what are we arguing about? If the issue is to cover, then that's undeniably going to be served by having a date on the get that he won't be able to cover for her. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, why would Rabbi Shimon say that the get is kosher even though you had the Edim sign on it later, and then she's going to present a get mugdam as if she were divorced the year before or the day before, whatever it is, right? Answers Rabbi Yochanan, well, obviously, gentlemen, I never suggested that Rabbi Shimon agrees with this. That's the whole point. I understand the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim as being essentially the machlokas between me and Reish Lakish. In that, this issue, do we say Znus Shchicha or Lo Shchicha? According to Rabbi Shimon, I never suggested that Rabbi Shimon holds that I'm going to cover for her. He says that the only point is to date it because of the Nichsei Malug. And if that's the reason to date it, then the day that it's dated is the day he lost his Nichsei Malug, come hell or high water, whenever the Edom signed on it. That I agree with Reish Lakish, 100%. I never said that Rabbi Shimon agrees that the idea is to prevent the Znut. So I have no problem. Me and Rabbi Shlakish are both agreed that Rabbi Shimon holds there's no issue of covering in terms of Znut. The only issue is to prevent her loss of Nichsei Malug. And since Rabbi Shimon holds that the husband loses Nichsei Malug from the date and not from the signature, so what's the problem? So then that means we have a range of opinions over here, right? According to Rabbi Shimon, the moment that the guy decided he wants to divorce her, even if he didn't have a get that was signed, that get dated is enough of a document to be able to allow her to sue for her Nichsei Malug, which is amazing. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if he's got a dated and signed get, it's not going to make any difference because he continues to take the Nichsei Malug until the actual giving of the get. And therefore, that's not the issue in the dating of the get. Now, those are two reasons that end up being exact opposites, and yet they accomplish the same thing. Because Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look, for that, I don't need to have the get dated at the same time, because anyway, it's irrelevant when it comes to taking the Nichsei Malug until she can prove that she got the get. When she presents a get to Beis Din, and she says, look, I have a get, and this guy is selling Nichsei Malug, they'll immediately put a stop order on his sales. And from that point on, if he sells, of course she'll be able to recoup it. So what would be the point of the date on the get? There wouldn't be any. And the opposite is true according to Rabbi Shimon. What's the point of having the date on the get signed by the Edom at the correct time? Anyway, he's going to be able to be sued for the Nichsei Malug from the date that's on it, whether it was signed or not. So it's amazing. But this is like one extreme to the other, right? And then we have the other shita, which is the Rabbanan Alibet Reish Lakish, that if it was signed on that date, so then from that point on, and only from that point on, not from the dating of the get, but from the signature, it's at that point that we are going to be careful about the Nichsei Malug. That is Reish Lakish's understanding of it. And so therefore, the only issue would be in terms of the Nichsei Malug. So this would be mamish from one extreme to the other in terms of the halacha lamaisa of what point you would be able to recoup the Nichsei Malug. Fine. Okay. So is this clear? Because everything else gets a little bit more complicated. Let's just get our basic ideas clear. Basic ideas are, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the date in a get, according to the Rabbanan, is only in order to ensure that you cannot use a get ex post facto by having it dated at the wrong time. You cannot utilize a get to cover over adultery. And as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, Alibet Rabbi Yochanan, that's not an issue. The only issue would be that there's got to be a date on it in terms of the moment that it's dated being the end of your right to take your wife's Nichsei Malug, but that doesn't mean it has to be signed on the same day. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, yes, dated, yes, but signed, who cares? You can sign it some other time. According to Reish Lakish, the issue is, according to everyone, the need to be dated so that she would be protected against illegal sale from her Nichsei Malug, which the moment that it's signed is no longer, has no right to be able to sell. And according to Rabbi Shimon, since he could continue to be sued anyway, there would be no problem because you don't need the signature on it. You need only the date on it. Okay. So now everybody is happy. Now, the question is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we now know very clearly what the machlokas is between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. It's a fundamental machlokas. Is the problem a problem of a get as an ishut document that has to do with marriage, or are we looking at the get from the point of view of its being a financial document? Fine. But according to Reish Lakish, if the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon both agree that the get is a financial document, could you explain to me what is the machlokas? Because the Gemara never did this. We spoke about it. But remember, the Gemara hasn't clarified yet. Ma'ika ben Rabbi Shimon l'Rabbanan, according to Reish Lakish. Why would the Rabbanan say that if the get is signed early, that it's not good? And Rabbi Shimon says it makes no difference. Ah, the difference is, what is the status of Nichsei Malug between the time that the sofer writes the get with its date and the time that it is signed? That's the machlokas. The Rabbanan hold that the Nichsei Malug, he can continue to sell until it's signed. So because of that, the signature, which is going to confirm the date, is absolutely essential. Because if not, if it's going to be dated before and signed as if it's from them, the woman will be able to sue for recouping Nichsei Malug from his buyers. And she had no right to do that. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, she had every right to do that because the moment that he wrote that get, it was already the end of his rights to sell. And if she uses this get to sue the people who bought it, say, you bought that stuff from him, he's a ganav, I want my stuff, you go collect your money from him, she is absolutely in her rights. And if he comes and tells the court, ridiculous, she didn't know what she's talking about, I have witnesses that said that the get was only signed 3 months later, the court will say, we don't care when it was signed. We only care when it was dated. Because we only care when it was written. That's what Rabbi Shimon holds. So here we've got all three variations. In what point is it that a husband must lose his rights to Nichsei Malug? And we have the way in which the issues of either dating for Ishut or dating for protection of Nichsei Malug, according to all of the three shitot that we have over here. What are the three shitot? Rabbi Shimon, which both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree about. And according to that, Rabbi Shimon holds the moment you write a get, you lose your Nichsei Malug. Therefore, we don't care when they signed it. We have the Rabbanan Aliba, the Reish Lakish, who say, no, it's when you sign the get. That's when you lose the rights to Nichsei Malug, and therefore it must be signed when dated. And then we have Rabbi Yochanan, who says, only when you give the get, you're going to lose the Nichsei Malug, so who cares? The reason that we have the date is in order to provide for a kosher get that will accurately define when a woman is divorced so that it will not allow for adultery taking place before the divorce. That's it. Those are all our shitot, and now everything is quite clear. Now, the only problem is, says the Gemara, that we have somebody who's claiming that actually Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan said just the opposite. The Yitma, me'ema taimotzi in leperot, Rabbi Yochanan remishat k'tiva. Oh, my God. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who's saying what Rabbi Shimon said from the time that you wrote it. And Reish Lakish says, misha'at netina, when you gave it. Good heavens, what the heck is going on over here? This is not the way that we just explained it. You're right. You're right. Somebody made a big boo-boo. And this is all April. This has got to be inverted. And it should say, Rabbi Yochanan said, from the time that you gave the get. And Rish Lakish says, even though it says ktiva, it means the chatima, we'll have to say. Okay. Omali Abayel Rav Yosef. Something is wrong with this takana, because it doesn't really work. We said, remember, way back when we were talking about the original sugya, we said, how do you explain the Mishnah later that says Shlosha Gitim Psulim? Anyway, we have three Gitim that are Pasul Min Rabbanan, but nonetheless, if she goes ahead and gets married with such a get, the child is not a mamzer. And one of them was, remember, a get that does not have a date. Now, I understand. If Lumaisa were worried about kindly avuncular uncle trying to cover for his witchy niece, who's been going around playing with other boys while she's married to him, well, if he's a smarty, he'll write her a get without a date, cover for her so she doesn't get her head handed to her, and it'll be a kosher get, right? I mean, if you want to make sure that the uncle's not going to cover, you can't give him an option of writing a phony get. And here you're saying, well, if you did write a phony get, it would be kosher. So what's the point? So what, he's going to say, well, I don't want to be a bad boy. Of course you want to be a bad boy. You're trying to save her life. So you'll write her again without a date. So that means that the Chachamim's takana is a joke. They're not really going to prevent this from happening. So therefore, Abaye asks Rav Yosef, if it says, Im nisei tavlat kasher, can you explain to me, ma ho'ilu chachamim betakanatam? So what exactly do they think that they accomplished if anyway he could still write a get like that? Something's wrong. Well, what do you mean, said Rav Yosef? Look, it's going to make things very tough. Because, I mean, on the one hand, we don't want to make a takana that we're going to create mamzerim because of a takana drabon and the get would be possible. We're not going to do that. So you're saying, so what good is it? It's a heck of a lot of good. Because basically, did they not make a din that such a get is not going to be usable for marriage? Yes. So you tell me, okay, if that's the point, who is going to write a get like this? You're going to go to a registered sofer, and you're going to get him to write a get without a date. He's going to look at you, what are you, crazy, trying to do something illegal? You know, the cops are going to be down here and who knows what time. God only knows what's going to happen with your Nichsei Maluk stuff. Get out of here. This is all currency, what do they call it? When they, you know, you cover, that the banks drive you nuts from. Come on, guys, tell me. Nobody's got their sound on, so I... Laundering, yes, thank you. So now you're laundering both her Nichsei Malug and her dirty sheets. Enough. I'm not writing a get like this. And then what happens? You got somebody to write it, so you're going to get somebody to sign it? They're going to say, to sign a get without a date? What, are you crazy? Nobody's going to trust me for anything anymore. Get out of here. So it's going to be very hard for good old avuncular uncle to actually achieve the results that he wants. Okay, and that's enough for us. You're saying
he wants to whitewash what his niece did. Whitewash. He wants to whitewash everything. It is blank. Laundering. It all fits.
Thank you, Shmoo. At least they're is some survival of intelligence. Okay, so actually the next case, you could talk about whitewashing. That would be reasonable. This case, it's very far-fetched. Okay, so we've explained Maho Ilu Chachamim Betakanatan. But, Abaya says, what about whitewashing? Now that's already Akasha. Suppose you go to a sofer, you have the get written properly, you have the Adim sign the get, and then you erase the date. So, now it's not difficult for you to get a get written, right? So now good old avuncular uncle is going to indeed whitewash the get and whitewash his dear niece, or ex-dear niece. Anyway, so what about that? Gazel is mandi devi yavi nela. What if he cuts out the date and he gives it to her? And what are you going to do to prevent that? My. So I still have the same question of maho ilu chachamim betakanatam. Omar Leis, Rabbi Yosef says, we can't protect against that. What protects against that is society, which of course no longer protects against that. But to do something which is open Rama'ut, and which everybody says, why is the date erased? My doggy ate it. Yeah, right, your doggy ate it. So the guy, I mean, it's a horrible chutzpah to do. Everybody knows exactly what's going on. And even though he may be accomplished, the fact that the Besed can't prove that she wasn't divorced, we're certainly not chayish for that type of azut panim. And unfortunately, that means this takona no longer has much meaning, huh? So, as we certainly have that level of azut panim. Okay, I got another question. I mean, if this is really the point, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, and it's important for us to protect against adultery, then how do you explain the following? Well, first, let me ask you what you hold halacha is. Suppose instead of writing the exact date, you write the name of the Shvius, Shemitah. This is the third Shemitah cycle of Yovel 76. What about that? Is that kosher? Suppose you write sometime in Tufshin Pei Gimel, this get was written. Or suppose you write in Nisan, Tufshin Pei Gimel. Or you write in Shabbos Parshat Baha Lotecha, we wrote this get. Is that a kosher date? Omale, absolutely. It's perfectly kosher. Well, I mean, if that's a kosher date, so then what's to prevent a guy from covering for his niece by writing a kosher get with a kosher date that covers a span of 7 years? So what's the point? So we have the same problem. You have the same problem. That's true, but only after 7 years. So, I mean, basically the takana helps that if sometimes in the past 7 years she actually had slept with somebody, then the get would not pater her from there, right? Or if he wants to sell Nichse Melug in the next Shemitah, he won't be able to. So basically, you can't totally ignore the fact that this takana has made a takana. Because, look, if your only problem is, well, that's not much of a takana, okay, what do you suggest? You suggest to have perfect coverage. Tell me, how will we get perfect coverage? If you have the date, does that tell me at exactly what time in the day according to whose watch? Are we going to have a plank time description of when she slept with this guy and when she didn't sleep with this guy? Anyway, obviously we can't really cover this. So the point of the takana is to deal with it so that a get is at least meaningful in defining a period in which the woman is definitely divorced and a period during which she definitely is not divorced. That's the point of the takana. We can't do more than that. So anyway, saying, well, but over here you'll cover 90% and over there you'll only cover 2%, that is not a taina. And therefore, that's what shahu ilu chachomi betakanatam, and that is enough. So be it, gentlemen. Okay, we've covered a lot of very important fundamental ground. So, we've covered a lot of very important fundamental issues. The different shitot of when Nichse Melug, three different shitot of when Nichse Melug is actually out of the Rishus of Baal. Two basic different issues about what the whole point of dating a get is. Recognition of what is considered to be a proper date and what is not. Examining the way in which we can control illicit gittin because of this takana, even though we don't have perfect control. We cannot control for Rama'ut, where somebody is ready to actually cut out the date. We cannot control for a situation where you've got a crazy sofer who's willing to go along with this money laundering. fine. We cannot control for the exact time, but we do what we can. And that would be the basis, both of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, that even though it's imperfect takana, there is value in having the date on the get.